Our reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. This is in the 49th chapter, what's called the Second Servant Song. This is what the prophet says there. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I'm honored in the sight of the Lord and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, and my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before we move into the time of proclamation, I wanted to share with you a message from the Council of Bishops of the United Methodist Church. This was written by Bishop Bruce Oh in response to what was said this past week. So this is from our Council of Bishops, and I'm just going to read it. "We are appalled by the offensive, disgusting words attributed to President Donald Trump, who is said to have referred to immigrants from African countries in Haiti and the countries themselves in an insulting and derogative manner. According to various media accounts, President Trump made the remarks during a White House discussion with lawmakers on immigration. As reported, President Trump's words are not only offensive and harmful, they are racist. We call upon all Christians, especially United Methodists, to condemn this characterization and further call for President Trump to apologize. As United Methodists, we cherish our brothers and sisters from all parts of the world, and we believe that God loves all creation regardless of where they live or where they come from. As leaders of our global United Methodist Church, we are sickened by such uncouth language from the leader of a nation that was founded by immigrants and serves as a beacon to the world's huddled masses longing to be free. Thousands of our clergy, laity, and other highly skilled, productive citizens are from places President Trump has defamed with his comments. The fact that he also insists the United States should consider more immigrants from Europe and Asia demonstrates the racist character of his comments. This is a direct contradiction of God's love for all people. Further, these comments on the eve of celebrating Martin Luther King Day belies Dr. King's witness and the United States' ongoing battle against racism. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, whose parents during his infancy had to flee to Africa to escape from the wrath of King Herod. Millions of immigrants across the globe are running away from such despicable and life-threatening events. Hence, we have the Christian duty to be supportive of them as they flee political, cultural, and social dangers in their native homes. We will not stand by and allow our brothers and sisters to be maligned in such a crude manner. We call on all United Methodists, all people of faith, and the political leadership of the United States to speak up and speak against such demeaning and racist comments. Christ reminds us that it is by love that they will know that we are Christians. Let's demonstrate that love for all of God's people by saying no to racism, no to discrimination, and no to bigotry. Bishop Bruce O., President, Council of Bishops. There are times when we can only assume that it was by the Holy Spirit's guidance that proclamation and scripture were chosen. Earlier in the week, I had remarked to my wife that I had no idea why I had chosen the scriptures I did, the direction that I did. That as I had laid out the whole series, I had forgotten huge chunks of God's story, which is a story of leading people, a story of GPS. And she said, as a good teacher that she is, write it down and do the series again next year in January. And I thought, you're so smart. You're so smart. Thinking of what I just read and thinking of what we heard from Isaiah, I hear the words, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. Made my mouth like a sharp sword. Prophet's words are difficult, and they cut into sometimes deeply held convictions that are poisonous and call us into a relationship with God. As we think about this series, as we think about connecting our life into God, as we think about GPS, all of us who are sitting here, minus Graciela, grew up at a time before we had GPS. Or we had to use maps. Or we had to go by personal knowledge. And many of us who now rely upon GPS argue with these devices because we still know a better way. Right? Take a left up ahead. That's not the way I want to go. I'm going this way. There comes time where we rely upon this technology more and more, and the further that we go afield from our homes, that there is a complete reliance upon the directions that it lays out to get us to where we're going. That all begins, though, with relying upon it, with daring to turn it on and use it. And there are some that still will not, and find themselves in those classic stories of being lost, with often couples arguing, do you know where you're going? Why don't you pull over and ask for directions? Your children bought you a GPS so this wouldn't happen. You have to start by turning it on. Now tomorrow, many are going to enjoy a day of rest from school, from job, a time where we're recognizing a prophet who challenged the way things always were with a vision of the way God seeks them to be. He's a prophet that I saw, like Isaiah, dared to turn on the GPS, God's positioning system, or at least challenged all of us to turn it on in our own lives and live guided by those directions. Now, Dr. King was a product, at least part of his education, was a product of Boston University's School of Theology, the alma mater for this alumnus, and he acquired his terminal degree there. And so I feel a connection in some ways to him as he darkened some of the same halls in the School of Theology. He sat in some of the same rooms that I took classes in. He is, interestingly, the only person for which there stands a memorial in every single state of this country. The only person. Why? Is it because of the man, because of Martin Luther King Jr.? It's because of his dream. It's because of the challenge of the vision that he laid out, one which he acquired by turning on GPS, God's positioning system. It's because he challenged us all with God's word to become divine as a community and as a nation, to live and abide by the directions, the hope, the future, the destination that comes through God's positioning system. For us in the United Methodist tradition, we not only get the pleasure of acknowledging that his terminal degree, his doctorate, was achieved at one of our schools, but we match this dream and vision with one of our 6 denominational-wide special offerings. We call this Sunday Human Relations Day, which most certainly holds its place annually on the calendar just before the day when we honor an American prophet to encourage the people of God to once again catch the vision and pledge themselves with their gifts and service to ensure that all people can realize their potential as human beings in relationship with one another. It's a Sunday when we are reminded that differences do not exist among God's children, but in fact, we are of one family. And therefore, we should make sure that our brothers and sisters have the same opportunities and support that we have had, hence the offering. Through the years, with various programs and biographies that have come out about Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement, we've been given a glimpse into the personal struggle he went through. It's common for so many prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr. He asked himself and reflected constantly, what am I doing? Am I making a difference? Is this going to really make life better? Is my labor in vain or spent in vanity? Am I connecting people to God's positioning system and projecting those directions onto the world? What we learn through this is what a prophet and apostle he was. God's servants throughout the ages have struggled with these same questions in the face of adversity or in a lack of results. What am I doing? I thought this was your will, God. What direction am I going? Are you there? Sally said, perhaps appropriately, as we started recalculating. I want to follow. Help me to follow. Everyone hates me due to what I say. Am I doing this for attention, for myself? Sarah laughed at the idea of her getting pregnant. Jonah ran from the question and the hardship. Jeremiah struggled. Even beloved Isaiah, in the passage we hear today, replied to the Lord, reflecting on his work, that it hadn't borne any results. And for that matter, Jesus has his moments. Lord, take this cup from me. But to each of these, God responds, guides, directs, because they have dared to take the risk of turning on GPS. And their pride, meaning their reasonable or justifiable self-respect in what they were doing, returned. Their confidence. Jonah, finally in accepting his role, is spit out by the giant fish to follow God's call. Jeremiah continually receives God's steadfast love and words of encouragement, which leads him to continue in the challenge of his prophecies of the destruction of Israel. Isaiah receives from the Lord a broadening of his mission as a response, not just to Israel, but to the entire world, Isaiah prophesied. And Jesus responds, not my will, but thine be done. Their pride and their confidence returned as they reconnected to God's positioning system. Pride not as in conceit, but pride as in acknowledgement and belief in what they were doing, the words they were saying, the teaching they were following or imparting, the mission they were accomplishing, the direction they were heading. God reminds them that this is something that cannot be taken from them, even if everything else can be. God reminds them that they have been chosen. God reminds them of the place this earns them in salvation history. It says in Isaiah, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Take pride. Your destination will come. You'll get there. What is it we are looking for? Isaiah's prophecies fulfilled in Christ. Jesus, who gave everything up but was victorious over death. Martin Luther King Jr., who continued in the prophetic lineage, calling us to our sinful living and behavior, calling us back to the words and ministry of Christ, whose words came as a sharp sword cutting deep into our communities and our own worst selves. Lives taken, but prides intact, direction established. So what about us? Do we seek a teacher and following the teaching? Do our words come like a sharp sword indicting our culture for its idolatry? Can we even declare that our labors have been in vain or that we are deeply despised and abhorred by the nations? Or are we stuck with a different type of pride, the pride of conceit, a pride of wanting to go our own way? A pride in self, ignoring God's positioning system. Have we connected to, turned on, and made the commitment to follow the ways of Christ? To use God's positioning system as the guide for our lives? Or do we just figure, we're too small, I'm just one, God bless you, I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too cold, I'm too alone. I'm too busy. You can add to that. So why bother? Why bother? Because as the prophets and apostles knew, as Jesus knew, as Martin Luther King Jr. knew, ours is not a private faith, but it is a public faith. Directions that demand proclamation as they cast the hope of the world in them. Why bother? Because if we call ourselves people of God, God's children, then we also know that we are chosen. Why bother? Because God is faithful to those who are faithful to God, to those who have that pride. Why bother? Because in Jesus Christ, we have been given every spiritual gift we could need. Why bother? Because we seek to live by the teachings of Christ. Why bother? Because the world desperately needs to hear the message of salvation, the message of forgiveness, the message of being one family, the message of God's incredible grace, the message of God's positioning system in Christ by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God is not restraining our lips from answering the question of what we are looking for, nor from then becoming part of the answer. God does not hide God's saving help. God does not make us labor and teach in vain. The only thing that is in vain is when we do not labor, when we do not connect into, when we do not turn on God's positioning system, then we will remain lost. It's been given to us as a gift. At Christmas, we unwrapped it in the person of Christ. It doesn't say garment on it. It is Jesus the Christ. And in that is a call. Use this. Follow. It's a call. I have great intentions for you if you will but go. A call that comes. You can be a light to the nations and what lies ahead. I've chosen. If you'll just connect. God directs us to hold the light of Christ up and out. A public faith. A visible faith. A divine pride. An active ministry to help each and all realize their potential as God's children. Those who have come before have had a dream, a vision by God's grace of what we can be like, of what the world can be like. They labored with pride in that divine dream, and now that dream is left in our hands. Will we just enjoy a day off tomorrow? Or will we begin to see every day as a day on? A day of labor. a day of ministry, a day to share the light, a day when our mouth and words and actions can be a sharp sword against the idolatry of the world as we follow the voice of God in living out our calling as God's people. God has chosen us. God has chosen us to make this dream and vision a reality, to share that teaching. God has chosen us in Christ. Will we turn God's positioning system on in our lives? Let us pray. Gracious and guiding God, though just 1 week ago we celebrated the acknowledgement of you in Epiphany, the revelation of your ministry, we're still a people wandering, walking, too often disconnected, unconnected, lost. We're still a people in the dark with a sense that darkness looms large around us, overwhelming us with fear, anxiety, as we witness so much brutality and violence and loss. What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? How do we move on? If we will but connect into and with you in Christ, we could be people of your light, guided ahead by your voice, by your ways. And so we pray for that voice, the light of your grace, that we may see and know and hear and trust in your ways, that we may have the confidence and energy, the courage and freedom to walk ahead, to enact your rule through the demands of this day. So it is that we seek to submit to you as did the prophets of long ago and the ones of not so long ago. We know that this way ahead will not be easy, filled with other voices competing against yours, working to fracture our unity. Help us to stay the course, to remain connected, that our lives may be truly transformed. As your Holy Spirit descends afresh upon us this day, remaining with us as we seek to align all the aspects of our lives to your voice, into proclamation of your grace and love, guide us on, God in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.